Times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God, saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, preaching the way. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night.
Amen. All right, we're moving right on along today for a couple of reasons. I want to make sure that we fit everything in, and I want to give you some homework. I want to give you some things to look forward to. Just a lot of things I want to fit in this morning, and with us here today. And first of all, I want to thank you all so much for this past week. And next week, we will have one more missionary in, which will end up our month. That is, his name is Matthew Siegbert. And and yes, he is related. And that is my little brother. And now y'all can tease him because he has more gray hair than I do. And just make sure everybody asks him, are you older or younger? That'll really get him. And but anyway, he'll be in. He is a missionary to Ghana, West Africa. And he's going to share his ministry with us. He's actually getting ready to go back to the field. He has been out on a short furlough. And he'll be heading back here real soon, and he's going to come and share with us, but excited about that. But this week, in just a few moments, Brother Cleo is going to come, and he's going to read for us 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Cleo, why don't you go ahead and come and do that, and then I will move ahead with what God has for us.
Good morning, beloved. Glorious day to cozy up in our Father's hand.
Amen.
Nothing can pluck us out. Nothing can harm us nor touch us. We're heaven bound for eternal salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do God bestow. Let me start over. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of them themselves. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men are be eased, and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft-times proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do we inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, our brethren, be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I will we'll proceed on. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we again thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you would help me today, Lord, as I challenge your people. Lord, we've had a good week. Lord, we've been a blessing to several missionaries, and Father, we just thank you for that. And now, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as a church, together to take the next step of faith that you have for us. And Father, that we would be able to expand what we're doing. And Father, we'll love and thank you for it. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd give me what you'd have your people to hear today. Lord, again, I pray that you'd be with anyone that might be among us today or tuned in that does not know you as their Savior. I pray that today would be their day of that they'd get saved. And we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to start off by bragging on you. and giving you some numbers here. And and again, as an encouragement, because in 2 Corinthians 8 and chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, he brags on two churches. He brags on the church of Macedonia, or the churches of Macedonia, which is several churches. And then he also winds up bragging on the church of Corinth. And in just the way of bragging and as a pastor, in letting you know what has been done, and then I'll share with you what I would like to see us do, and I'll start off by letting you know, and again, these are approximate figures. They may vary a little bit here and there, but last year, over the year of supporting our missionaries that we currently have, which is 31 missionaries, which was given or put into missions, was $15,600 is what we spent last year supporting worldwide evangelism, and I praise the Lord for that. That is good. That is wonderful, especially from a church our size, and to thinking of what had happened. You know, COVID and all of that. You know, we didn't miss a beat. We were able to still continue with our missionary support and have extra left over. And I really thank the Lord for that. Now, I'll share with you about that extra here in a little while. But I wanted to share that with you. Then I wanted to share with you again, this is testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I don't know of anybody in here that is independently wealthy. If you are, see me after. I have some other things I want to talk to you about. And but most of us here are, you know, we're going from paycheck to paycheck. I know that's true in my life. And you know, when I figure out my bills at the end of the month, it don't always kind of work out the way I'd like to see it work out. Or you know, there's a little bit of red there when I'd like to see black. But again, God has provided, and I know that's the case with probably each and every one of us here this morning. But in bragging. In boasting, and again, not pridefully, but this week in our missions conference, in the start of missions conference, what we were able to accomplish as a base love offering for our missionaries through the Change for Jesus was $2,108.50. And what we did with that is we divided that up amongst each one of the missionaries that came. And each night we put out our offering plate to collect up a love offering for missionaries. And I'll just give you a grand total of what was collected in offering in love offerings this week for missionaries, and all of it, every dime of it, went to the missionaries. We collected $6,212.50. We gave out this week to the glory of God to our missionaries that set aside their time and came here and shared their burden with us to help them along the way. We gave out a total of $8,109 in love offerings. Amen. And I got a couple of texts from our missionaries that went out, and one missionary wrote back, and he told me, he said, "Brother," he said, "out of 28 years of ministry, you guys just set the record and broke the record of anything that I have ever received as a love offering from a church." And I want to tell you, as a pastor, I want to thank you for that. That excites me. And again, your generosity to give. Because like I said, I don't think there's anybody here among us that's individually wealthy, but we all chipped in, we all gave, now we spent some other monies on things like that, you know, things for the missions conference and sending gas money and all that kind of stuff, and which you know we and we still didn't even exhaust our missions fund, which we praise the Lord for. God blessed, and each meal that we had each night. Now what we did this year is the flags that you see on the wall, and we're going to deal more with those at the end of the message. Those belong to us now. Now some of the other stuff that is around, we borrowed, and we'll just add to it next year, but we were able to add some decoration, and God has just done a wonderful thing among us this week. And I just kind of wanted to start off by sharing that with you. And now what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you the next step that I believe God has for Faith Independent Baptist Church, so that we can do more this year than we did last year. You know, we did a lot last year, and we thank the Lord for that. A lot of great things happened over the missions conference, but I would like to see us do more. I did share with you all, my desire to see the missionaries that we had in that was on the front of the of our prayer card to be on the back of our prayer card, which means that we take them on for support. Also, I want to share with you all, and these are just some things I'd like you to pray about. I'd like us to get back into the radio. And again, with those things in mind, in order to do that, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take a step of faith. Because again, if we add it all up, it ain't going to add out to what we currently are doing for missions. And it probably won't add up once we're done here, but we will take a step by faith. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so we always need to be growing on faith. But I want to take us here, and again, this message is not original to me, and you'll understand my statement there in a little bit here. But I want to take us to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I want to kind of help you out in some areas, and I want to encourage you to consider what God would have you do this year in missions. Now, what we do as a church, we take 15% of the tithes that come in, and we put that into missions. Now, I do know that there are some of us that give over and above our tithe directly to missions. But then praise the Lord. And we praise the Lord for that, and I'd like to encourage you to continue that. But what I'd like to do is I would like to encourage our church and each and every person of the church to give over and above your tithe in missions. You say, well, we're taking tithe and we're doing 15% of that, and we've done well thus far. Why do I need to kick in more? Well, as we go through this lesson, it's going to help you understand why you should kick in more, or why you should be giving over and above your tithe to missions. Because again, now look at it this way. If you are not giving over and above your tithe in missions, you're not giving in missions. You say, now wait a minute, preacher, you just said our church gave $15,600 last year. I gave in missions. No, if you didn't give over and above your tithe for missions, you gave your tithe, and praise the Lord. Please don't stop. I like to eat. And we want to pay the electric bill, and praise the Lord. We are doing well financially as a church. But I want to encourage you. And the reason I want to encourage you in this is because I want to see God bless you more in your life. And the principle of giving in missions comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And what I want to encourage you to do this week is I want to encourage you to go home, and I want to encourage you to study these two chapters. Please read over them and study them. If you've got a pen and paper, I'll give you a quick outline to kind of help you break this down. And if you'll write this down, and as you're going through and you're studying this week, it will help you understand a little bit more. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses number 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul, he's writing here, and he uses this the example of the church of Macedonia. And so he starts off by challenging the church at Corinth by using the example or the testimony of the church at Macedonia. Then in verses 7 through 8, or 7 through 9, Paul switches over and he uses the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as I bragged on you all this morning, and I guarantee you what we gave our missionaries last week, they're bragging about it. You know, they're letting other churches know, and I'm sure each and every one of them probably has talked to their home pastor and let them know how great of a blessing that our church was to them. And so Paul here, first he uses the example of Macedonia, and then verses 7 through 9, he uses the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 10 through 15, he gives the purpose of giving. And then in verses 16 through 24, to the end of the chapter, he gives the policies in giving. And again, what we're talking about here, we're not talking about your tithe. And in chapter 8 and chapter 9, he's not talking about tithe. He's talking about offerings over and above your tithe. And in the church of Corinthians, in the churches of Macedonia here, what he's talking about is offerings that were given over and above their tithe, and those offerings were used to further the gospel, or to be used to support several men of God in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in spreading the gospel. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, he talks about the readiness in giving. And then in verses 6 through 7, he talks about the principles in giving. And then in verses 8 through 15, he talks about the promise from giving. And now, those of you who cared to write that down, do I need to go back and repeat any of these? Because I really want to challenge you this week to go back and to look at these and to read these. But what we're going to do primarily this morning, we're going to focus on, yes? For 2 Corinthians chapter 8?
Yes.
Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. It's an example of the Macedonians. At verses 7 through 9, the example of Christ. Verses 10 through 15, the purpose of giving. And then verses 16 through 24, the policies in giving. And what that'll do is that'll help you kind of break it down as you look at it and as you study it, because I really want us to get much from this. These chapters here, chapter 8 and 9, they support the Bible truth of giving over and above the Bible truth of giving your tithes, but also over and above giving and offerings. And of course, in Malachi chapter 3, it addresses the need for tithing and giving and offerings. In fact, the Bible says there in Malachi chapter 3, the charge of robbery was giving to those who did not tithe and give in offerings. And we'll talk more about that as we go along here. But the concept of faith promise giving is found in 1 Corinthians or in 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9. Now again, I know I've used that word faith promise, and some of you are all thinking, well, you know, we've tried that before and we'll go over it here again. It's been called many things. It can be faith promise. It can be grace giving. There's a lot of names for it, but basically what it all boils down to is a designated amount between you and God that you give over and above your tithe. And now, does that mean that we're going to stop taking the 15% that we give from our tithes to offering to missions? No, that's not what I'm talking about here. But I kind of want to help us understand some things here and challenge you in what to do. Roman numeral number. My first point here. And we find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verses number 1 and 2, is we must start now where we are with what we have. And let's look at the scripture here. The Apostle Paul says, moreover, brethren, in verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the age, of the grace of God bestowed upon the church of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberality, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Now, again, in giving in missions, I want to challenge you, we need to start now. And that's very important. If you're not giving in missions, I want to encourage you to start now. You say, well, what does that mean? You know, we can't wait to give in missions until everything gets right before we do right. Because again, and what I'm talking about there is, you know, a lot of people, what we think about when we think about giving in missions, can I afford to give? Now, a lot of us have dealt with that as far as our tithe. Well, can I help you out with this and explain to you, you can't afford not to give in tithe, and you can't afford not to give in missions, because the Bible is very clear, as we talked about this week, it's our responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we do that by going and by giving and sending others. And so we need to start now. You don't want to wait until everything is right. And what I'm talking about, and you know, and if you gauge on what you're going to give in missions based upon what you can afford, you know what you're going to come up with? Nothing. You're going to decide right now, okay, I can't afford to give. You know, I can't afford to give in missions. I really can't. And if we look at it based upon on whether we can afford to or not, or whether things are right, you know, there's a lot of things going on in our life. There's a lot of things going on in our country. You know, you think, well, you know, with the president we have now, and with everything going on in the political arena, you know, well, we better start saving some money and hoarding some money because hard times are coming. Well, yes, I agree with that. That they are. You know, inflation is going up. There's, but you know, if we wait until everything is right economically, we'll still come to the same conclusion. We'll never give in mission. So we need to start now where we are. The church at Macedonia was doing right. And that's what Paul is bragging about here. The church of Macedonia, even though things weren't good with them as far as trials and problems going on in their church, what they were doing is they were doing right. They were giving so that Paul and other men could go to Corinth, so that they could go to other places and so that they could preach. And the other thing that I want us to understand here is obedience is not optional or postponable. You know, it's kind of like our children. You know, when we tell them we want them to do something, they kind of look at us and say, they'll either say no or okay, but they don't really mean it. You know, growing up, you know, raising my kids, my son Mark and my daughter Jessica, they both responded to things completely different. My son was the one that when you looked at him and you told him to do something, and he didn't want to do it, he'd look at you and say no. Even though he knew that it was going to get him in trouble and he was going to get a whooping. Now, my daughter, she was a little bit more sneakier. She'd smile and look at you with them big blue eyes, and she'd say, "Okay, Daddy." And she would go off into her room with no intentions of doing what I asked her to do. And so, you know, I had one, you know, that looked at it right away and thought, well, you know, actually they both looked at it, you know, well, what dad has asked me to do is optional. You know, we've already covered that very well this week, that giving in missions is not optional. It is something that God expects us to do. And again, it's not postponable. Don't put it off until tomorrow, because tomorrow will never come. You know, one of the things that we learned in Mexico, when we would talk to somebody and we'd ask them about something, they would say, "Mañana." Well, mañana means tomorrow. And generally when they said mañana, well, they weren't planning on doing what you asked them to do. What they were doing is they were just putting it off. Now, if you think about it this way, tomorrow. Does tomorrow ever come? No, because when tomorrow gets here, it's today. And so it's not postponable. In Roman numeral number 2, as we look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Now, it was never with the Macedonian church, it was never a issue of willing. It was based on their willingness, not on their wealth. And that's what it's saying here. It's saying, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. You know, giving in missions is not about wealth. What it's about, it's about willingness. Are you willing to give? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get the gospel around the world for the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's a willingness. And I want to encourage you in your heart to be willing to give over and above your tithe to missions so that we can go further and we can support more missions. And the thing about it is that what Paul's bragging about here, about the Macedonian church, they were willing to give beyond human ability at the time. Again, where did they get the power to give? It wasn't of themselves, it was of God. So they stepped out by faith. And then we shall be made willing when we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9 what Christ contributed to our plight. You know, one of the other examples, if you think about it, down to verse number 9, it says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, and that ye through his poverty might be rich. And so, again, using the testimony and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, I don't know about you all, but that is one of the things that compels me actually to do a lot in my life, to give financially, to give my heart, to give my life, to be willing to do many things that I wouldn't be willing to. But when I go back and I think about what Jesus Christ did for me, you know, we all shout amen, and we're excited when we think about that. If we were the only person that existed on the face of the earth, it would not have changed the plans of God. It would have not changed the plans of the Lord Jesus Christ. He still would have died if we were the only person. And we thank the Lord for that. And again, we have many things that we can thank the Lord for. Praise the Lord, we weren't born in Afghanistan. We weren't born in a lost family. I thank the Lord many times in my prayer that I'm not the one waiting for the missionary to come. 85% of the world has not yet heard the gospel. We're in a small portion of the world that has heard a gospel message. And I don't know, this may apply to probably a lot of us here, but many of us has heard it over and 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 over again. But there's yet a lot of people that has never heard the gospel. Will you be willing to give whatever God asks of you? And what I want to encourage you to do is to pray this week. God, what would you have me do for worldwide missions? Pray about it. And the question is would you be willing? Would you be willing, whatever God tells you to do, would you be willing to do that? And Roman numeral, the third point here in Roman numeral 3 is the order of practicing giving. You know, I've heard many times and even heard here is that faith promise missions does not work. Well, it really does. I have been practicing faith promise missions for 40 years, and there has never been a time that God has not been faithful. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 11. Now therefore, perform the doing of it that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Now, can I help you understand how missions giving, faith promise, grace giving, whatever you want to call it, can I give you the order of how it works? First of all, it works by what God spoke to your heart about, you promise it. Secondly, you give it. And thirdly, you wait for God to return it. You see, that way, folks, faith promise works. The reason most people have problem and say that faith promise doesn't work, because what they do is they promise it, and they're waiting on receiving it before they give it. You see, the scripture here is telling us that that now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. You see, what God wants us to do is God wants us to step out on faith on what we have. So just like your tithe, you figure your tithe. You give your 10% as God commanded. And then with your missions giving, that's the next thing that you give before you consider all of the rest of your bills and responsibilities. And I guarantee you, unless you are just a horrible steward of the money that God has given you, He will provide. He will take care of. And as many of you all have testimony of it, I know what I give for love offerings. And God is good. God's going to take care of it. Could I afford to have given what I gave? And obviously, you all couldn't either. But God will bless. God will return. In your missions giving, if you will give it and trust God, you say, well, why is that order important? Well, you see, if you promise it and wait for God to give it to you before you give it, you know what you're saying? God, you have the faith. God, if you give it to me, and the problem with that is, God will give it to you. God's already given it to you. You know, God gives to you what He didn't intend for you to keep. Many times God gives through us. And so if we're waiting for God to give it to us, which He does give it to us, you know what the devil does? The devil makes sure that you don't see it. The devil makes sure that you don't see the blessing or the promise that you gave. And so therefore you think, well, you know, I was going to do it this week. You know, God laid them on my heart to give $10 a week. And He didn't give it to me this week, so I'm not giving it. Well, what you're not taking in consideration, you know, just like everybody else, you know, need tires for the car, you know, the car broke down, you know, there'll always be something to spend that on. But if you promise it and give it and rely on the Lord Jesus Christ to give it back, I guarantee you God will be faithful and supply the need that you have. By giving out of what we already have, we are trusting God to give it back. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. The faith is in God replacing what we give, not just adding to our abundance before we give it. And again, what we're doing is we're putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that He's going to take care of our needs. And the last point here, the amount of faith promise giving or the amount of giving in missions is optional. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse number 7, it says, every man according as he prospereth in his heart, so let him give, not begrudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, that's a really interesting verse there. It says, every man according as God purposeth in his, or according to every man as he purposeth in his heart. What is God laying upon your heart to do? What are you purposing to do? And again, what that's talking about is you've made a decision in your heart and you're planning to do it. And then it says, so let him give, not begrudgingly, not out of a bad heart saying, well, I've got to do it. God's commanded it. So here, take it, God. That's not how you're supposed to give. Now, what's really interesting, a lot of people think about that and they think, well, I can't give it without grudgingly, so I won't give it. That's not what the verse says. It doesn't say you're not to give it. It just says how you're not. It tells you how your attitude's not to be while you're giving it, but still give it. Or of necessity, and again, that's that attitude of, you know, well, if I've got to do it, I've got to do it. And then it says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, when we obey God and we do what God tells us to do, it is amazing how God blesses. And again, you become a cheerful giver. If you're obeying God and trusting God and you see how God gives it back to you, you know, and again, I can give you testimony after testimony after testimony throughout the years that how God has provided and gave back and supplied my needs. I remember one particular missions conference God impressed upon my heart on what I was to give for missions. And in order for me to do that, I was going to have to write a check that night. And that meant there was no money left in our account at all. And I only got paid once a month. This was at the beginning of the month. So that meant for the rest of the month, there was nothing left. And I struggled with that amount. I really struggled with it. I thought, well, you know, Lord, you know, I'm committing to this, and I'm going to give this every month. And I did it by the month because that's how I got paid. And Lord, I'm broke already. I gave it and put it in the offering and committed to it for an entire year. Before I walked out of the church that day, as I was heading out the door, one of our brothers in Christ walked up and shook my hand and gave me a check. And he said, God led me to give this to you. And it was double the amount that I had just put in. You say, well, is God going to do that for me? Well, he might. But you see, there's other ways God blesses. There's other ways that God takes care of things. You know, many times we don't even really realize what God's doing in our lives and the things that he protects us against. You know, making things last longer. God provides in every manner of our lives if we'll be obedient to him. And so the amount is optional. What God is speaking to your heart. You say, well, you know, I don't give in faith promise missions, and you know, and I don't know where to start. Start simple. Just start. Just start somewhere. You know, no matter what that may be, I want to challenge you to do it. You know, God set the amount on the tithe. That's 10% of what God has increased us with. And that, as we know and we understand that very well, that's not a request. You know, and that's not a negotiable figure. That's not after you've paid all of your bills and this is what I have left. Now I'll give 10% of it. That means before you pay all your bills, before you even pay your taxes, you give 10% of what God has blessed you with to the Lord. And God will bless you, folks. God will bless you. You just got to trust him. But as far as missions giving, God says, okay, you determine that amount. And you know what will help you determine that amount? Is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how much you love him. And so I want to encourage you. In faith promise, you determine the amount. And we see that in verse number 7 of chapter 9. God gives us the ability to determine the amount, but he is clear but he is clear that our practicing it, or the participation of it, is obedience. I want to encourage you to be obedient to what God has for you. To give. We must give. Regardless of the Church of Macedonia, they gave. They were having some tough times. And you may look at it today and you might think, well, you know, preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what I'm going through financially. You don't understand what's happening in my life. You know, there's trials, there's problems, there's situations, and right now is just not a good time. Well, if you're waiting for a good time, it isn't ever going to come. I want to encourage you, folks. I want to encourage you to give. I want to encourage you to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I really want to encourage you to pray about it. And when we get done here, I'm going to I want to explain this why I've got you here, and we've still got some other things to do, and we're going to have fun with the flags here. So you just bear with me a minute. I've got some cards here. Now, they are, it says on here, faith promise card. The purpose of this faith promise card, there's no place for a name on it, so I won't know who commits what. I don't want to know. I don't even want you to come up afterwards and tell me, hey, I committed so much. This is more for you than for the church. Now, and again, on here, there's a space where you'll be able to cut this off and keep as your record of what you have committed to God to give in faith promise. And you say, well, I don't agree with that. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. Well, fine, don't. This is not a. I'm not telling you you have to. It will help us in deciding what we need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, why don't we just give more out of our tithes and offering? Why don't we just raise that up? Well, that is a way to do it, and we could do it that way. But folks, last year, out of our tithes, now I know, again, some of you gave over and above. We gave $15,600. Praise the Lord. What are we praying about? I ask you all to pray about bringing in a youth pastor. Now, again, we're not going to stop doing what we're doing. But you know, that's half the salary of a youth pastor. If we gave over and above missions and were able to use that towards a youth pastor, we're halfway there. You say, well, why do we need a youth pastor? Well, you're going to see it here in just a moment at invitation time. You know what our missions conference was, folks? Our missions conference was an investment in the future. It was an investment in missions. It was an investment in our young people. And it's going to pay off. And so I want to encourage you, as God leads you, again, I'm not telling you you have to. It is solely between you and God. Not me. I just like your tithe. I don't look at tithing records. For those of you who want to use it for tax purposes, I couldn't tell you who gives and who doesn't, and I don't want to know. You say, well, you know, I fill out this card. Are you going to come knocking on my door if I don't fill it? Well, first of all, your name's not on there. I won't know who it is. And even if I did, it's between you and God. It's not between you and me. It's not even between you and the church. It's between you and God on what you do. And you say, well, then why the card? Well, I know that sometimes, unless I make a commitment and I put it in writing, you know what happens? I fulfill it. Many things that I just kind of verbally say and don't mean it, I'll give you a good example of it. I've known plenty of people who live together. A man and a woman, they live together. Well, why do we need to get married? Why do we need a piece of paper from the government to say that we're married? But you know, when hard times come, you know the first thing they say is, well, we're not legally married, so, you know, let's just separate. Well, you see, there was no commitment. Already planning on, folks that shack up together generally don't plan on staying together anyway. Now, they might do it by accident for a few years, but they generally don't plan on staying together anyway. You know when they plan on staying together? Is when they make a commitment. And so, I know this is different. This is new. And I won't dislike you or call you names if you don't. Again, it's between you and God. And you do as according to what God have you do. And Brother Chuck, we're going to do our flags here in just a moment. Brother Chuck, if you'll come, and we're going to have an invitation. And you say, well, you know, the sermon you preach, preacher, you know, I... Invitation? Well, I never want to go by without giving the opportunity for someone who God is dealing with their heart to make a decision. And so if you're here today, and you know, I didn't necessarily talk about being saved, but if you're here today, and if you were to die and not know for sure that heaven would be your home, don't worry about faith promise, don't worry about tithing, don't worry about anything that we've talked about today except for this. Come and let us show you from the Word of God how to be saved. Because that's what all this is about. It's people getting saved, people turning to the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so I want to encourage you that if you're not saved, come and be saved. But if God's dealing with your heart in any other area, just commit it to God. And if you want to use these altars, you go ahead and you come.